Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this morning is, will you say it with me? The Prison of Want. Yes, based on Psalm 23, our fourth in our series of sermons. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find the sermon outline there. I'm going to invite you to go with me on a little field trip this morning. Are you ready? Come with me to the most populated prison in the whole world. This facility, this prison, has more inmates than beds. Most of the inmates in this prison never leave. They never escape. They serve a life sentence. What's the name of the prison? Well, you'll see it over the entrance, written in cast iron letters. W-A-N-T. The Prison of Want. You've seen its prisoners. They're always in want. They want something. Something bigger, faster, nicer. They want. Now, they don't want much, mind you. Just one thing. One new car. One new house. One new spouse. One new job. One new investment. One new toy. If they could just get it, they'd be happy. And they're right, until the new car smell passes. The new house needs work. The new spouse has bad habits. The new job gets old. The investment goes south. The new toy breaks. The new plan fails. Soon, the sizzle fizzles. And the person returns to the prison of want. Are you in prison? You are. If happiness for you was always just one thing away, if happiness comes from something you deposit or drink or drive or digest, then you are an inmate in the prison of want. That's the bad news. But the bad news gets worse, because stubbornly dwelling in this prison of want can shut you off from the one who alone can set you free for this life and the next. But the good news is, today you have a visitor. And your visitor brings with him your parole from prison. He brings your walking papers. Your visitor is God's messenger, King David, the divinely inspired writer of the 23rd Psalm. He sits with you in that prison visitation room. He leans across the table from you and gently whispers to you, I have something wonderful to give you. God's gift to you. Your freedom from this prison. The secret to lasting satisfaction and peace. And here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In this timeless passage of Holy Scripture, David, the former shepherd, tells us that God has provided for us the green pastures where want is no more, and where discontent melts away. It's as if David, the writer of inspired Scripture, tells each of us, what I have in God is far greater than what I think I need in life. Could each of us learn to say the same thing? Think for just a moment about the things you own. The house you have. The car you drive. The money you've saved. The things you collect. The treasures you've inherited. The things that fill every storage space where you live. Envision all that stuff. Got a picture of it in your mind? Now permit me to remind you of two truths of Holy Scripture. They're on your outline. Truth number one, your stuff is not yours. Ask any funeral home director. I had a funeral here yesterday. Ask any hearse driver, any grave digger. You can't take it with you. No one takes it with them. When one of the wealthiest men in history, John D. Rockefeller, died, his personal accountant was asked, "How much did Rockefeller leave?" And the accountant said, "All of it." Holy Scripture puts it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. "Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so shall he depart, and he shall take nothing with him from his labor that he can carry in his hand." Truth number one, your stuff is not yours. And truth number two, look at your outline, all that stuff is not you. Who you are has nothing to do with what you have. Who you are has nothing to do with the car you drive, the clothes you wear, the house you live in. My dear friends, if a fire or a flood or an earthquake came and destroyed all of your stuff, it would not destroy you. If emergency rescues came to your place where the waters or the fires were rising, would you yell out, "Save me?" or "Save my stuff?" Would you yell out, "Save my children?" or "Save my stuff?" Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 12. "One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." God does not know you as a fellow with a nice suit. God does not know you as the woman who lives in a nice big house. God does not know you as the teenager who has the latest electronic gizmos and equipment. God knows your heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, we read these words. Listen carefully. "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks only at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." When God thinks of you, He doesn't think of your things. And when you think of you, you don't have to either. If any of us define ourselves by our stuff, then we lock ourselves up in the prison of want. Contentment and freedom are God's gifts when by simple trust we confess with St. Paul from Philippians 4, "I have learned to be content with the things I have. I know how to live when I am poor and when I have plenty. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There's the key. Did you hear it? I can't do this on my own. My contentment doesn't come from my own effort. I can't write my own parole papers from the prison of want. Contentment and freedom only come through Christ who strengthens me. Or as St. Paul says it elsewhere, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." Or as David in the 23rd Psalm would put it, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I read a story just last week about a woman in a leper colony on the Caribbean island of Tobago. A missionary met her there while on a short mission trip, and on his final day there, the missionary was asked to lead worship in the leper colony. When he asked if anybody had a favorite song, this woman raised her hand, at least what was left of it. Due to her leprosy, she no longer had any ears, any nose, or any lips. But she asked, "Could we thank Jesus and sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings?" The missionary started to sing the song, but he couldn't finish it. Afterwards, someone commented, "I suppose you're never going to be able to sing that song again." He said, "No, I'll sing it again. Just never will I be able to sing it in the same way." My friends, what you have in Christ Jesus, your good shepherd, is far greater than what you don't have in this life. Let's look at this truth a little more up close and personal. How would you fill in this blank? Are you ready? How would you fill in this blank? I will be happy when I'm healed, when I'm done with school, when I'm promoted, when I'm married, when I'm rich, when I'm retired, when I'm popular, when everybody agrees with me, when I enjoy my job, when my children always do what I tell them, when Pastor Harold quits preaching sermons that touch my personal life. Now, with your own fill-in-the-blank answer firmly in mind, answer me this question. If your ship never comes in, if your dream doesn't come true, if your prayer isn't answered the way you think it should be answered, could you still be content? Could you? If not, maybe the door to your prison cell of want is still locked with you inside. But look, look, here comes someone to break you out of jail. He is Jesus, your good shepherd. My friends, you have a shepherd, a heavenly Father who's watching over you, a Savior who has loved you and given His life for you, the Holy Spirit within you, and all of heaven ahead of you. My friends, what do you have? You have forgiveness for every sin. You have God's strength for every day. You have His direction for every turn, His candle for every darkness, His anchor in every storm. You have heaven's gentle whisper and an empty tomb's shattering shout that you have everything you really need. As David says it so simply, but so majestically, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because God loves you, yes, I'm talking about you. You have everything you really need. And I ask you, can anybody take it from you? Can cancer, there's some heads shot up with that one. Can cancer destroy your salvation? Nope. Can financial challenges bankrupt your prayers? No. Can an unfulfilled dream or a wrong turn you've made in life make your Savior stop loving you? No. A storm may take your earthly house, but can it touch your heavenly home? No way. I heard of a man who went to his pastor for counsel and prayer. This dear man was in the midst of a financial challenge, a struggle in his life. When he sat down with his pastor, the first thing he said with a sigh was this, "I've lost everything." The pastor replied, "I'm so sorry to hear that God doesn't love you anymore." "No," the man corrected him, "I still have God's love." "Well, then I'm sad to hear that you've lost your faith. No, I didn't say that, said the man. I haven't lost my faith. Well, then, I'm so sorry that you have lost your salvation. Pastor, that's not what I said. Nothing can touch my salvation. Well, the pastor observed, you have God's love. You have His gift of faith. You have the gift of salvation. Seems to me you've lost nothing of what really matters. Now, my dear brother, let's talk about your money problems. Hey, you, child of God, you haven't lost what really mattered. We are not in need of what really matters. I do this every Sunday. It should be no surprise. Look here. Look to that cross. Look at the one who loved you. Don't look at me now. Look at that one who loved you and gave his life for you. Look at the one who paid for all your sins. Look at the one who defeated your devil. Look at the one who won the victory over your death. That's Jesus, your precious Jesus. You and I can pray together that famous prayer of the man. It's been made into a painting. A man who is saying a table prayer over a simple meal of bread and water. He prays this, "Oh Lord, all of this and Jesus too? Amen. Amen indeed." St. Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." When the Holy Spirit of God, through the proclamation of God's Word, touches our hearts and opens our eyes, we can surrender to God the heavy baggage of want and discontent. And we don't just give up something. We gain something. What will you gain with godly contentment? My friends, you may gain your marriage. You may gain precious hours with your children. You may gain a new self-respect. You may gain a renewed faith to declare from the bottom of your heart, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Would you please say that with me slowly? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Again, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." One more time. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Shh! Did you hear something? I think I did. I think I heard the sound of an opening of a prison door, setting you free from the prison of want. In the name of Jesus, amen.